seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
It's time for a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. It's a big week, especially in the local sports front. Winter sports coming to a close. You know, we just had the swimming and drill come to an end last week. This week we have wrestling ending on Friday and Saturday. And it's also the beginning of the high school state championship basketball tournament. That actually begins tomorrow. So we're going to talk about that on the show today. The first round matchups are set. The Carbon boys and girls both getting a bye in the opening round. Emory girls getting a bye by the Emory Spartan boys team. They'll play tomorrow night at home. They'll take on the Delta Rabbits. It's a blackout game, by the way, so if you're going to the contest, make sure you wear black. Emory's going to be at home, but they're going to wear their black jerseys as well. If they get a win tomorrow night, the season will continue into Friday. They'll travel on the road to take on the Grantsville Cowboys, number one team of the RPI. A loss would end the season tomorrow night for Emory. So we will be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus to set the stage for tomorrow night's do-or-die contest. And, of course, you'll be able to listen to the live play-by-play call right here on KOAL. So that's coming up next segment here on the show. I also want to talk about the NBA. There are a couple of big storylines floating out. If you watched last night's game on national TV, the Lakers and the Nuggets, it's a big game. Denver's playing much better basketball. I think we know who the top four teams in the West are, the Lakers, Jazz, Clippers, Nuggets, whichever order you want to put them in. It was a compelling game that Anthony Davis leaves the contest, and he has been dealing with an Achilles issue for the last little while. It didn't look good when it happened. He connected, hit legs with Nikola Jokic, and basically it's just been termed a right Achilles strain, not a rupture, not a tear. That's good news for the Lakers because I'll tell you, LeBron James may be the front runner for the MVP because the guy has been incredible. The Lakers have no chance of winning a championship without Anthony Davis. I think when AD and LeBron are together, it's the deepest roster in the league. Yes, even more so than the Jazz, and I don't think anyone would beat that team four times in seven games. But if one of those two go down, I don't think the Lakers could beat the Jazz or the Clippers in a seven-game set. I think at that point it becomes matchups. And the way those other three teams are constructed in the West, it'd be tough sledding for the Lakers. It really, really would. I think that they would instantly become the third or fourth best team of the Western Conference. Now, Davis, he was listed as questionable before the game last night that he started, and the Lakers were on a seven-game winning streak. They were playing great basketball even without AD. There were some close games. They had to win some overtime games. But when they made contact, he and Jokic, when they made contact, it just looked really bad. I would not be surprised if Anthony Davis misses the next month of the season. I don't believe he comes back before the All-Star break for sure, and I think the Lakers avoid a disaster last night. But that's one of the big stories in the NBA. We'll talk about that a little bit later. How about this? Blake Griffin, he has played his last game as a Detroit Piston. At least that's what the report is, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Griffin and the Pistons have agreed that he will be out of the lineup until the franchise and his representatives work through a resolution on his future. Now, again, that's being reported by ESPN, so Pistons general manager Troy Weaver, he has a big decision to make. Now, the Pistons are moving toward a rebuild under Weaver, and really, this is going to give them a chance to play some younger players, start on development. Blake Griffin's 31 years old. Remember when the Pistons made the trade with the Clippers? I didn't understand it to begin with. And now, finding a trade for Griffin, it's going to be tough because He's owed 36.6 this season and 39 next season. And the team's going to continue to try to seek a deal. Remember, the NBA trade deadline is now March 25th this year. But I just don't know what Detroit could get back for him. Are we speaking buyout? I think it's probably an option. And then things get really interesting for Blake Griffin. Because if he was to accept a buyout with 36 this year and 39 next year, he's going to sign with a contender this season. Short-term, one-year deal, minimum to help win an NBA championship. So I think that this is definitely a storyline to pay attention to. I'll give you another storyline. The Cleveland Cavaliers. They're not going to play Andre Drummond anymore. Again, you can connect this to the Pistons, right? I don't know what the big idea was when they acquired Drummond to begin with, but now they have begun trade talks. A little bit easier to move Drummond, if they do. I think a buyout is an option here as well, but Drummond has expiring money. And in the NBA, in my mind, expiring contracts are almost more valuable than first-round picks. And the reason I say that is because everybody looks for cap flexibility. And if first-round picks, if you're picking outside of the top 15 or 16, you could probably even lower that to the lottery. I just don't value first-round picks. I really don't. It's guaranteed money. Second-round picks? Okay. It's not guaranteed. An expiring contract, especially one as much as Andre Drummond's. Curious to see what happens here. Let's move over to college football. Didn't take Gus Malzahn long to find a new head coaching job. He is now the new man at UCF. He was fired back in December after 8 seasons at Auburn. Look, the guy was 68-35, 39-27 in conference play, and he took the team to the national championship game in his first season. They won 10 games, made the SEC championship game in 2017. They've been about 500 since then against SEC opponents over the last 3 seasons. Josh Heupel at UCF, he left last month for the Tennessee head coaching job. And so now it's Gus Malzahn, a 7-year, $49 million deal with Auburn following that 2017 season. So he got a hefty, hefty buyout. It was like $22 million they paid him. I don't know what the contract is with Central Florida. They haven't released that yet, but regardless of whatever it is, he's going to get a lot of money to not coach Auburn over the next few seasons. That's some of the national sports headlines. We'll take a look at what we have in the NBA tonight. Coming up here on KOAL at 6:50, it's the 76ers and the Utah Jazz. Love this matchup. This should be a primetime game on national TV. Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert, sign me up right then and there. 5 o'clock tonight, we get the Bulls and the Pacers. The Wizards will play host to the Rockets. We get Atlanta at New York. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. Jazz Sixers at 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock tonight, it's Cleveland at Golden State. The Heat will travel to meet the Clippers at 8 p.m. And then we get Brooklyn and Sacramento in the nightcap. That's a quick look at what's happening to the national sports front. We're going to give you the local sports recap. The Carbon Lady Dinos clinched their third consecutive state swimming championship. 3 in a row. That's a dynasty. You can get the complete results at CastleCountryRadio.com. A complete write-up. And Coach Allie Chamberlain will join us on the show tomorrow. Also, we're going to give you the one-minute recap of the Daytona 500. It was a long day here on KOAL due to the rain delay, but we'll play that for you as well. We got a lot coming up, but it's right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Coming up tomorrow, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team will open up the state tournament opening round against Delta. Emory ends the RPI number 16, which means they get to play host to that play-in game, so they'll welcome in the Rabbits. Live coverage of tomorrow's contest will begin at 6:30 right here on KOAL, and then we'll get the tip-off at 7 o'clock. Joining us right now to talk about the regular season and what lies ahead, we have head coach Jeff Cincinnatus over the phone right now. Coach, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. I know it's been a long time coming. We go all the way back to when you were named head coach in April, and here we are towards the middle of February, and now it's time for the state tournament. May not be the season that anyone envisioned or anticipated, but still, the boys did just enough to earn the right to play host to a play-in game, and in my mind, that accounts for something.
Yeah, the boys, we've talked all year. I mean, obviously, our record is is not indicative of what kind of team, you know, we do have. We've lost a handful of close games and been in a handful of a lot of other games that we let get away late. I mean, our record could very easily be flopped, to be honest with you, if you look at it. I really only think we were out of, you know, two or three games the entire year when we look at things. But record-wise, we throw all the records out the door this time of season anyway. I mean, everybody is 0-0 right now starting the state tournament. So, you know, whatever record anybody has, I mean, that goes by the wayside. And it's about how you're playing at this point in time in the season. And I really believe we're playing better basketball than we were at the beginning of the year, which is all I've asked my guys to do up to this point, is prepare ourselves to be playing our best basketball at the end of the season. We continue to work hard every day. And, you know, I give the boys a lot of credit for showing up day in and day out, ready to put the work in. We've had a few days where, you know, that was tough to do, and we've gotten through that. But I'm happy with where we're at right now, and that might sound kind of funny, but you know what? We're playing in a playoff game, getting ready to, you know, to move forward into the state tournament, and we have that opportunity. We didn't know, you know, going back a few months ago, if we'd even have an opportunity to play basketball this season. And it was a weird preseason getting pushed back. It was a weird summer season, not getting a chance to get with the boys much. So to be in this situation right now, you know, I'll take it, and we're just going to move forward.
Coach, you mentioned playing the type of basketball that you guys are playing right now, and I agree with you. I mean, just coming off of the win over South Sevier last week, it's a tough place to get a win. Hung with Grand for about 2.5 quarters. I mean, that's the Region 12 champions. And then I look at the bracket, and I see a home game against Delta, and then you'd have to jump right in and play Grantsville, the number one seed. And at that point in time, my question is, why not? I mean, I honestly don't mind where the team is sitting at in the bracket. I honestly, if you had to play in a playing game, would you prefer this route? Because I say, why not?
Yeah, I kind of do. I mean, I know we've talked about this earlier, that a lot of teams are going to have an entire week off. We get an opportunity to play tomorrow night, you know, and then have a couple days of practice to prepare for the next opponent, you know, hopefully with us moving forward. And I think I'd rather keep that schedule of playing a couple games in the week instead of having an entire week to practice. I think your practices tend to, you know, kind of get lazy and not mean as much at this point in the season when you have that much time. You know, some people will disagree with me that the more time to prepare for an opponent, the better off you are. But I look at it, and I've always looked at it this way, Jordan, that I am preparing our team for our team. I mean, Emory High is the only team, in my opinion, that can stop Emory High from being successful. I mean, obviously there's things you want to do against an opponent to give you an edge. But right now, you know, if we play our best basketball, we do what we've been, you know, working hard and practicing to do and being coached to do, that I don't care who we play, you know, we'll have an opportunity to win that basketball game. I mean, we don't need 3 days of practice to prepare for anybody. You know, we need a couple days of practice to keep working on our stuff and doing what we want to do and being successful with us. So, you know, I firmly believe that, you know, this opportunity to play on Tuesday and then again on Friday is good for us, and it's what we need right now, and we're going to take it. You know, that's the hand we've been dealt, and we're going to make the most of it and just push forward.
Looking at the team that you get, Coach, in Delta, it's a squad that has also struggled. One of the things that stood out to me just looking through statistics before I even sat down and watched any tape on Delta, it's a team that has three kids that can score the basketball. Now, defensively, you and I have had conversations about this all year, being a team that holds a squad to 50 or less. And look, you guys held South Sevier to under 50 points. You won the basketball game. Are there any difficulties that you see in Delta, knowing that they have three kids that can score double figures night in and night out?
No, not particularly. Not to take anything away from Delta. I mean, they've always, you know, put a team on the floor that competes just as hard as anybody else, and I know they'll do that again tomorrow night. But, you know, in the region we played in this year, I mean, every team had three or four kids that could score the basketball. So night in and night out, we were playing against teams that, you know, at any time, anyone on the floor can hurt you. And so it's not going to be much of a change for us. It's really about what we do with it and what kind of defense we play. Like we mentioned, there's nights when we played pretty good defense for two or three quarters, you know, or pretty good defense for a quarter or whatever it was. And I really felt like the South Sevier game, we put four quarters of good defensive effort together. And, man, that's what's going to take, you know, from here on out. There's not a team that we're going to play, whether it's Delta or Grantsville or anybody else in the state tournament, that if we only play two or three quarters of defense that we're going to beat. And we need to play four quarters of defense and four quarters of offense. And that's where I go back to saying, it's more about what Emory High is going to be doing, not what another team is going to be doing to us. And it's the effort that we put forth and how we go about that effort is what's going to be successful for us. So, you know, if we show up ready to play good defense, whether it's man-to-man, whether it's zone, whether it's pressing, if we're going to give a good effort and do it all game long, then I'm really comfortable with no matter who we play.
Again, Coach Jeff Cinceros, our guest right now, the Emory Sporting Boys basketball team. Coach, we'll talk about the offensive side of the ball. Go back to the game against Grand. Really, it's just taking care of it. And I know that that's been another reoccurring theme that you and I have talked about many times. Turnovers during a 3-4 minute span in a game seem to really alter the outcome. And I thought that was the same case Friday night against Grand. It was a very competitive game throughout the entire first half, early turnovers in the third quarter, and they capitalized on them.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I go back to every game we've had this season. I just don't think we've been completely overmatched. It's just that we've had spurts where we just kind of don't get back, play good defense, or turn the ball over, and you combine the two, and all of a sudden, you know, you're down 10 or 15 points, and then we decide, you know, to get back with it and then play even for the rest of the game. And those are just spurts we've got to get rid of, and we need to understand, and, you know, Friday night was a perfect example. I mean, we ran up and down the floor with Grand, which is not a team that I would really want to run up and down the floor. I kind of told the guys before the game, you know, we need to slow this game down, even though they're pressing, and that's hard to do. You got to be mentally ready to do that when a team is pressing you. You can still slow the game down and run an offense, and I thought we just kind of got running up and down the floor with them, and, you know, we kept it close in the first half, but turnovers in the second half and missed opportunities and still trying to run with them, you know, was the ultimate reason that we lost that basketball game. And again, we've just got to be better that not letting a team dictate to us what we want to do. And I, you know, Grand with their press, you know, they dictated to us all night long what they wanted us to do, and we kind of fell into their hands. And, you know, it's a good basketball team. They're not our region champs in the toughest region in the state in 3A for no reason. I mean, they're a very good basketball team, and they proved that Friday night. And, you know, wish them the best of luck moving forward as well. But we have got to play Emory High basketball again. If it means running when the opportunity is there, we're going to do that. And if it means slowing the basketball up and running a good offense, then we need to be able to do that. And that's just something that, that's going to be my main focus this week in all of our practices and everything we talk about, is for us to be a little bit smarter with what we're doing and being in control of the game. And we need to be in control of the game every single minute that we're playing it, and that's just going to be my main focus with the boys this week.
So one day of practice, Coach, because I'm assuming you guys took the weekend off. So what do you focus on today leading into tomorrow's game?
We actually got in on Saturday.
Oh, good.
And had a little shoot around, had a little talk. You know, did a few things, got up and down the floor. It wasn't much. It wasn't anything preparing for who we were doing, you know, going to play. We talked about the RPI. We talked about the playoff situation because it had all come out Saturday morning. But, you know, we did get a chance to shoot around a little bit. And then today, you know, at practice, you know, we're going to go back over all of our stuff. We're going to go back over all of our offensive stuff that we're doing, make sure we're sharp with that, talk about some defensive things. We are going to talk about Delta, obviously, and some things that they do, but it's really going to be more focused on things that we do and what we need to do and how we need to play and the effort that we do need in order to beat a Delta team coming in here, you know, tomorrow night. So, I'm looking for a good practice today. I'm looking for a lot of effort, hustle. Obviously, you know, it's not going to be a real physical practice. We don't want to get into a lot of physical drills the day before a game. You know, we'll kind of treat it like a Tuesday practice would be, you know, when we play on a Wednesday, where it's not just walk through, but it's not as much physical stuff as a Monday practice would be. But, you know, we do got to have intensity. Today's practice needs to be intense. It needs to have great effort. And I'm looking, you know, I know our boys are going to show up with that. I mean, they're excited to be playing as well. And a home playoff game that they earned by that win at South Sevier, because without that win, you know, we would have been traveling on the road somewhere. So, you know, they put themselves in a situation to host the first round game at home, and to give them all the credit in the world for doing that, and now we need to make the most of it.
I know that for a state tournament game, it is a little bit different than just a regular season game, an on-region game, whatever you want to call them, because, Coach, it's just the varsity, right? So is that easier? And how do you use those underclassmen to maybe push these upperclassmen going into this game?
Well, practice-wise, we won't have every kid on the squad at practice today. They're all. We didn't mandatory any of our younger guys to come Obviously, we have a handful of guys that are, you know, expected to be there, and the rest of the younger guys are all given the opportunity to come and practice and take advantage of this as well, which, you know, I'm probably guessing that all of our guys will be there because that's the kind of kids we have. And, you know, we want them to see what it's like, you know, preparing for a state tournament game. Like you said, there's no younger games on Tuesday. We will get together, you know, before that game, you know, an hour or two before and have some shoot around, some walkthrough stuff. So that'll be a kind of a different thing and go through some things tomorrow before the game. But, you know, the younger guys need to see. I mean, how you got to prepare for a state tournament game because, you know, they're going to be in that situation, you know, again next year and the following year and every year after that. So we want them to see what it's like to prepare for it. And get them ready, and then plus the guys that the younger guys that will be playing and helping us out. I mean, they need to also be there as well. So, you know, I always like having a couple of games before it gives some of your younger guys the opportunity to get up and down the floor playing and see what their mindset is that day before you throw them in a varsity game. You know, we judge a lot on who steps on the floor in a varsity game, depending on what they did in a sophomore game or a JV game before them, and we don't have that opportunity. Right now, but you know, I think our guys are ready, and I think you know, they've proven, the guys that will be dressing, you know, that they are in that spot to get there, and I'm looking for good things from them. I mean, we're going to use everybody we need to in order to win every game from this point on, and you know, I'm just looking for good things from our guys. I think they're going to show up ready to go. I think they're excited about where they're at and excited about an opportunity to move forward, and I know I am, and I know the coaching staff is.
That was going to be my last question for you, Coach. When you know that records no longer matter, I mean, it was only just for seeding purposes, and you've been around sports for so long, be it basketball, football, even baseball, where you enter a double elimination tournament. Is it easy to get that mindset crossed over to the kids?
It is sometimes, sometimes it's not. I mean, I know this is a particularly tough season for Emory High basketball when you look at records, and you know, you base so much on a record, and you know, the whole mindset all year for me has not been anything about a record. And that, you know, don't take that wrong. I'm trying to win every single basketball game we play because I think it makes you better in a mindset to win those games. But knowing that we were going to lose some games, you know, this year, and it was going to be a little bit of a rougher season, you know, starting with a new coach and a new system, you know, I knew we were going to take some lumps here and there. And my main goal from day one, you know, going back to the summer, going back to April when I accepted the job, was just to be playing our best basketball when the state tournament rolled around. Whether we were 20-0, whether we were 0-20, you know, I knew at that point in time that records, you know, weren't going to mean, you know, whether or not you made the state tournament. It was just going to matter where you were. And I knew 3A was going to be such a competitive, you know, race this year, and it is. Top to bottom, it's very good. In my opinion, there are 10 or 15 teams that could walk away with the state title, and we're one of them. Regardless of our record right now, we're a team that I've had numerous teams talk to me about not wanting to see us in the playoffs. And they're not just giving me the lip service trying to make me feel good. I know they're serious because they don't want to see an Emory High team, you know, state tournament rolls around because our record is not, again, it's not who we are right now. We are a lot better team than what that record shows, and I'm, you know, been trying to get our guys to buy into that and believe that because they really need to. We are a lot better team than our record shows. And, you know, regardless of anybody else believes it, as long as, you know, my coaching staff and I and all of our players believe that's all that's important. So, you know, records, yeah, I mean, they're nice. I mean, they keep track of them, and, you know, and it's this and that. But you went to win a state title or make a deep run into the playoffs, you know, if somebody's going to bring up, you know, the fact that we only won 3 regular season games and they're missing a pitcher. So it's about getting better every day. It's about teaching these young men something that they can take from this point on. Not every day in the world, you know, when they're 20 or 30 years old is going to be a perfect day and a great day. And it's how they make that day, you know, be a better day. And so, you know, that's where I'm at with our basketball group right now. And I'm extremely proud of each and every one of our guys on the way they've worked and what they've done. And I know when the season's over, I'm going to be even prouder of them than I am today. So, you know, I'm excited for them, and I just look forward to good things.
Looking forward to the game tomorrow as well, Coach. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll see you there.
Yeah, I want to remind everybody tomorrow will be a blackout game for us at home. It'll be kind of something different. We're going to be wearing our black road uniforms at home. Want to remind everybody that does attend to wear black. And, you know, let's get the Spartan Center rocking as loud as we can with the number of fans that are going to be available there. If any student body or parents or anybody coming, just let's dress in black and let's support this group and let's go get a win tomorrow night, and then we'll move forward.
Looking forward to it, Coach. Thanks again.
Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Let's take another quick commercial break. We'll come back. I want to continue down the road of basketball, but we'll move over to the national sports scene. The Utah Jazz now have a game and a half lead over the Lakers for the top spot in the Western Conference. Big game coming up here tonight on KOAL as they take you on the Philadelphia 76ers. That's coming up next right here on Drive Time Sports.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
The Utah Jazz, they just keep winning. That's what's happening right now with the NBA. We're back on Drive Time Sports. This Monday, we got to recap everything that went down over the weekend in the NBA. In fact, coming up tonight, very interesting game. The Jazz will take on the Philadelphia 76ers. You got two of the best bigs in the game, Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert, going toe-to-toe. Live coverage tonight here at 6:50. Tip-off is scheduled for 7 o'clock. We'll talk about that. The injury scare last night of Anthony Davis, plus the big movement. Andre Drummond may be on his way out of Cleveland. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting earlier today that the team has now made it official that they are looking to move on from him. So we'll talk about all that more right now with Jamison Welsh of BasketballNews.com. Jamison, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
And no question. Always love talking with you, especially if this time of the year when there's a lot going on in the league. And we'll start by talking about the Utah Jazz. After the Lakers were just obliterated by the Denver Nuggets last night, the Jazz have created a game-and-a-half cushion for the best record in the Western Conference. And I was thinking about this last night. I have no doubt in my mind the Jazz are legitimate. But what has worked for this team? And in my mind, as I watch basketball throughout the league, it's just not great. The quality is not great. But when I'm watching the Jazz, I'm seeing crisp ball movement. I'm seeing two-way basketball being played well on defense and on offense. And I understand all the nuances to this year's season. There are teams that are built for June, not necessarily February. I understand that. But the Jazz have embraced the nuances and the difficulties of this league season better than any team right now. And that's obviously the reason why they have the best record in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they also have a tight-knit group. The chemistry's there. They play hard every night. They're pretty deep as a team. So they have a lot of good things going for them. So I'm not going to take anything away from them. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And also, they always have the benefit of playing in a place with high altitude. So when they get that team on a back-to-back or a three-game in 4 nights or a four-game in 6 nights, they get the benefit of really being able to do some things. At the same time, they're playing well. They're shooting the ball really well. They defend very well. You know, got to give them credit. You know, you can't take anything away from them. They've played. They've done what they're supposed to do, and we got to see it in the playoffs, though. That's the thing. As good as they are in the regular season, there's still teams out there that give them matchup problems. I still think Denver is a very tough matchup for them. Clippers are a tough matchup for them. The Lakers, when fully healthy, are a tough matchup for them. So we'll see what happens. But right now, they're looking really good.
Yeah, and again, I talk about this every week, and I got to continue to go back to it. Rudy Gobert is earning the money that they gave him. That's why tonight's matchup, it's so interesting tonight, seeing Rudy and Joel Embiid go toe-to-toe. There's no doubt that Joel Embiid is a legitimate MVP candidate the way he has played so far this year. Obviously, Philadelphia looks a little bit different. They got some different leadership now with Doc Rivers at the helm and 18-19 going up against the Jazz. This is a marquee matchup tonight, to say the least.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you got two of the best bigs in the game. Joel Embiid is, you know, probably, you know, second in the MVP race right now. Some people would have him first. Either way you have it, I understand. But no, they're in a really good team. Utah's a really good team. It's very rare that we get to see these kind of matchups. You know, I'm curious to see how Utah plays with a team that can defend on their level. Because a lot of these teams Utah's been playing against, they aren't really a good defensive team. But Utah can really defend, you know, Philly can really defend as well. You can make an argument that Ben Simmons is the defensive player of the year, what his versatility is when he does for that team. So we'll be interested to see that. That's a really good game. That's a really good guy. I wish it was on like a prime time game. instead of a Monday at a normal time. But it is what it is. Should be a good matchup.
And it's not even on NBA TV, which is unfortunate. I like what you just said about a team that can play a high level of defense because, again, my big worry about this Jazz team moving forward, and look, I think it is fully acceptable to have a worry about any team in the league right now. We'll talk about another team of the Western Conference and some worrisome moments in just a moment. But when you're looking at the Utah Jazz, the problem with this team in the postseason has always been being able to score the basketball. Now, when you look at what they've done over the last 20 games, look, they have played NBA-caliber talent. I get it. But, to your point, they're playing a different beast defensively. I think tonight's a telling game.
Yeah, it's definitely a telling game. It's definitely. I mean, I don't get really up for regular season matchups because they are what they are, but sometimes it can be a benchmark or a measuring stick. So that, to me, is always big. But I don't really get so involved because it's just a regular season game. The playoffs are so much different because you can plan, you have days off between games, et cetera, et cetera. Regular season games, you might just have a regular handful of hours to prepare and go for there. So I'm just curious to see what happens. But anyway, I'm just here for a good matchup. That's all we can really hope for at this point.
Again, Jamison Welsh, our guest right now, basketballnews.com, as we talk about some of the storylines in the NBA. And Jamison, as I mentioned, it's okay to have some sort of doubt with every team. I still believe the Los Angeles Lakers possess the best roster in the NBA, although last night it was a scary moment. Anthony Davis, who has been dealing with the Achilles soreness, left the game in the second quarter against the Denver Nuggets after bumping legs with the Joker. And at this point in time, it seems like everything's going to be okay. The MRI shows no rupture, no tear in the Achilles, but it is a strain. Still, it is something to worry about with the Lakers because you've been on the same page as me all year long. When you look at this Laker team, barring a major injury, best roster in the league, if Anthony Davis or LeBron James was to go down, well, that opens up the door for a team like Utah or the Clippers to not only come out of the West, but win the whole thing.
They can definitely win the whole thing. However, they got to be healthy. That being said, you got to rest Anthony Davis because they've come out the gates 21-7. So they have room to rest guys and get guys healthy. They don't need the number one seed. There's not a big home court advantage. There's no fans in the crowd like that. So it's not like you need to get the best record overall because you're going to have home court throughout. It really doesn't matter, to be honest with you. It's more about seeding. So getting the best record in the West or the top two or three records, it doesn't really matter per se. And they have some leeway. So if they got to play without Anthony Davis for a few weeks, then so be it. Because you want him to be healthy for the months that count. Him getting right and him being able to play well when it counts is all that matters. He's proven in the limited playoffs that he's played in, he takes the game to another level. You got to have him healthy for that. So that's the key thing. The rest of the Lakers are a pretty deep team. They may have to go out and get another big. But for right now, they're a pretty deep team. They can mask some of the loss of Anthony Davis. Not all, because you can never place him. But they can mask it for a little bit. Look for Kyle Kuzma to play more minutes. Look for Morris to play more minutes. But they're in a pretty good spot right now.
Yeah, and last night we saw Kyle Kuzma start the second half after Anthony Davis went down against the Nuggets. It's a stretch four spot, and you and I were talking off the air. The Lakers are very good when they play small ball to begin with because there's this idea that small ball, you're talking about guys that are 6'5" and under. That's not the case with this Laker team. Undersized in Montrezl Harrell, undersized in Kyle Kuzma for the 4 and the 5, but you have LeBron who, size-wise, look, this guy can guard any position 1 through 5, and so the Lakers are a little bit different when you talk about small ball.
Very, very different. With that being said, it's a situation to where, they have a lot of guys between like 6'7" and 6'9" that they can play. You know, Harrell is a guy you can play a lot of minutes. Don't necessarily start him. You can play him a lot of minutes. They have some things that they can do. With that being said, it would not surprise me to see them. It would not surprise me to see them make a move for another big, whether it's signing a free agent or making a small trade. Or waiting for a buyout. Nothing would surprise me at this point in time.
Yeah, and the buyout market, I think, is going to be big, especially with the uncertainty surrounding the next couple of seasons when we're talking about cap space. Speaking of which, we have to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are now in talks to move Andre Drummond. This is something that's been brewing for a little while. I'm actually surprised that this is the first official statement that we've heard or first official report that we've heard that the Cavaliers are looking to move on from him. If there isn't a trade, he's going to be bought out. And again, that's what I circle back around to the buyout market. However, there is a report saying that the Toronto Raptors are in trade talks. They would be interested in adding Andre Drummond. You're not so sure that he gets bought out. You actually like Andre Drummond to be traded.
Yeah, I can see him getting moved because there's teams with, you know, expiring contracts they can offer. There's teams with, you know, trade exemptions. I mean, for instance, the Toronto wants to – I mean, Kyle Lowry put his house on the market a couple weeks ago in Toronto. So that's that. Also, you have Boston with a big trade exception. So there's two options right there. Both those teams need a big guy. So just saying, like, never throw out never throw out the possibility of a guy like that. I think Drummond is too good to get bought out. Even though he has issues, he still has value. His contract is the reason why we're here, not necessarily his play on the court. It's his contract. And once the Cavs got Jared Allen, he's the future. They're about to pay him big money. So when you get a guy like that, you got to play him. So that's kind of where we are with this.
It'll be interesting to see what happens here, Jameson, as far as any other trade movement, especially on the big market, especially with the just looking at some of the injuries that have occurred, especially with Anthony Davis now. Who else do you expect to be in that conversation within the next 2 weeks?
A great question. Kyle Lowry will be a guy that I can see on the move. I mean, Toronto hasn't had the best season thus far. You know, they are a situation where, you know, it's kind of been rough. It's kind of been rough. It's one of those things where the season hasn't been as they thought it would be. They also have some situations to where, they lost a lot of close games, and they have they're in a weird spot as a team. So if they can, you know, shed some salary while getting some additional assets, I can see Kyle Lowry being on the move. You mentioned Drummond. Honestly, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but don't be surprised if Bradley Beal gets moved. And the reason why I say that is, we know he's very loyal. We know he wants to be there. But at the same time, the Wizards aren't going anywhere. Next year is his walk year. Do the Wizards risk losing him for nothing when they can trade him for a lot now? That's my biggest thing, because everyone talks a good talk, but we all have to look at the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is he can literally walk at any time. And I would be very careful if I'm Washington, because all that loyalty stuff sounds good until you actually, you know, face with a decision and the guy walks and you get nothing back. And that's a franchise. They lose Bradley Beal, they need something back. They can't afford for him to walk and get nothing.
Agreed. What about Lonzo Ball? I think that this is a name that we're going to see pick up a little bit more steam over the next couple of weeks. In fact, there was a report that the Chicago Bulls would be interested in acquiring Ball. I think this is a name that, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets traded.
Wouldn't be surprised, but he's actually playing better, and he has a pretty good rapport with Zion. So I don't know if you move him. I can see Bledsoe getting moved. Lonzo's still a guy that, for a lot of, you know, for a lot of teams, he could still, you know, be productive. There's still a higher ceiling for him. But with that being said, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. He's a guy I can see on the move, but at the same time, you know, his rapport with Zion is so good. He compliments Zion very well. Now, there's still some levels to his game that he has yet to unlock, but as of right now, I can thank for this season. But I don't think he's part of their long-term plans, though.
No, and we have to remember, he's only 23 years old. It's kind of bizarre, right? He's been in the league now four seasons. He's only 23 years old. I agree with you. I don't think we've seen this kid's ceiling yet.
We haven't, but we may never. And part of that is because of the injuries he's had.
Yep.
But that's because of the situation. So we'll definitely see what goes on. But honestly speaking, I'll be very curious to see what takes place going forward, because I don't really like the fit there. It's not great. They don't have enough shooting. And, you know, for that to work, you got to have shooting. But J.J. Redick's probably another guy that's on the move as well.
Jameson Welsh, you get a basketballnews.com. Jameson, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Of course, you got to let the listeners know where they can find more of your work and the excellent podcast you do with James Posey at basketballnews.com.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me as always. And yes, basketballnews.com. We have a podcast, articles, all that good stuff. I'm on ESPN 1100 in Vegas. ESPN, I want to say it's 1480 in Nebraska, and of course your show every week, so I definitely appreciate all y'all for having me on and talking hoops.
Yeah, love it every week. Jameson, have a great week, travel safe, and we'll catch you back next week.
Not a problem, thanks for having me.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL. 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Again, a great show lined up for you. We'll continue to talk national, but we will be joined by Coach Allie Chamberlain of the Carbon Lady Dino Swim Squad. That's a dynasty, three state championships consecutively. We'll talk about that. We'll continue to preview the high school basketball state tournaments. Again, they begin tomorrow night with the boys' competition. Emory taking on the Delta Rabbits at home in a blackout, so if you are attending the game, make sure you wear black. And we'll talk about all that more on the show tomorrow. Always a pleasure to be along with you. I want to thank Jamison Welsh and Coach Jeff Cincinnatus for taking out the time to join us. I will see you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.